Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We need to love ourselves. And last week we talked about that this isn't just some kind of fleshly love. This is loving ourselves with the love of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 describes the love of God to us. And so we went through that verse by verse and looked at all the things that love is and then applied them to our lives. And so in just quick review, because love is patient, we are patient with ourselves. Because God's love is kind, we are kind to ourselves. Because God's love is not envious, we don't treat ourselves as inferior to others by being envious of others. We don't treat ourselves cheap by parading ourselves. We don't treat ourselves as empty by puffing ourselves up. We're never rude to ourselves. We don't treat ourselves like a spiritual pauper, anxiously trying to seek our own. We don't provoke ourselves. We don't think evil things about ourselves, about our lives. We don't rejoice if we fall into sin because we understand we're better than that. We rejoice or congratulate ourselves as we walk in the truth because that's what love does. We bear all things concerning ourselves and we never give up on ourselves. We believe the best about ourselves. You need to believe the best about yourself. Have high hopes about your life because love hopes. We expect high and wonderful things about our future. We don't run out of energy when it comes to taking care of ourselves. We endure. And we never fail to love ourselves. So we covered quite a bit last week along those lines. We've talked about that there's much to love concerning ourselves because we are very special. God sees us as special, and we need to understand how special we are. We're special because God created us in His image and likeness. That's one reason why we understand we're special. We're special because God redeemed us with His own blood. We're special because God set us apart from all other peoples. We've been baptized into Christ, set apart from the world. We are special because we answered the call. We've answered the call to follow Jesus, to learn His ways, to walk as one of His disciples. We're special because we continue to get up no matter how many times we slip, fall, or get knocked down. That makes you pretty special. We're special because we won't give up. We're special because we continue to grow up. We don't get bitter through the tribulations and trials and tests of life. We just get better and better and better. We're special because we're not all about ourselves. We care about God and we care about others. Amen? So those are just a few things. And there's a whole lot more to learn about ourselves in Christ Jesus, and as we see ourselves in Christ, we just can't help but fall in love with ourselves. Amen. We just can't help but fall in love with ourselves. So that's what we've been talking about, but tonight we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. Just when you thought it was safe to love yourself. Tonight I want to talk about hating yourself. Totally serious. I want to talk about hating yourself. So as we talk about hating yourself tonight, make sure you remember previous messages and so that we keep everything in balance, okay? But we need to reconcile loving ourselves with hating ourselves because the Bible teaches both. So we need to understand both. And I believe and am excited that God's going to reveal to us the balance between these two things, understanding how we can love ourselves and yet hate ourselves, hate our life, love our life and hate our life all at the same time. Over in Luke chapter 14, in verse 26, Luke 14:26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." I want to focus in on hating his own life also. How many people want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? You cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus if you do not hate your life. So how many people think it's pretty serious to learn about hating our life? Yeah, because being a disciple is contingent upon it. We have to get a hold and understand what Jesus is talking about here, because I want to make sure that I'm a disciple of his. So being a disciple is contingent upon hating your life, according to this right here. Now, we go to John chapter 12. John the 12th chapter. And in verse 25, Jesus says, "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So here we see that eternal life is contingent upon hating your life. How many people think it's important to have eternal life? Yes. Yes, so then it is important that we hate our life, that we hate our life in this world, as Jesus said. Now remember, we talked about in previous messages on loving yourself that Jesus said we will only love others as we love ourselves. So we talked about how if we're going to be soul winners, if we're going to lead people to Jesus, if we're going to get people saved, if we're going to care about getting people saved, then we're going to have to love ourselves, because it's only to the degree we love ourselves that we will love others according to the words of Jesus. And yet, if we don't hate ourselves, we cannot be his disciple and we do not have eternal life. So, how do we reconcile loving our life with hating our life? How can we love and yet hate the same life? How can we love and hate the same life? Well, the answer is we can't. You can't love and hate the same life. And yet Jesus said you have to love your life in order to love others. And yet, if you don't hate your life, you can't be his disciple and you can't have eternal life. And if you can't have eternal life, then obviously you can't bring eternal life to others. But yet, you cannot love and hate the same life. There has to be two different lives then within the one, within you. Your life can actually be one of two different lives. There are two totally different lives that each one of us can potentially live. I'm going to say that one again, and it'll start becoming clear now. There are two totally different lives that each one of us can potentially live. We can live the life of the flesh or the life of the spirit. We can live the life that comes from the world, or the life that comes from God. These are two totally different lives that we can become an expression of. We can express either one of these two totally different lives. The life of the Spirit or the life of the flesh. How many people know that not everybody in this world is born again? In other words, not everybody in this world has made Jesus the Lord of their life and have been raised spiritually from the dead or raised from spiritual death. There's a lot of people walking in this earth that are spiritually, what the Bible refers to as being spiritually dead. Why? Because they're separated from eternal life. Their spirit is separated from God through sin. Jesus is the one that comes and mediates between God and man. And through his sacrifice, washes away our sin, removes the hostility that divides us from God, and allows us to become one spirit with him, one with eternal life once again. But until you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God's life, the life of the Holy Spirit. And yet, those spiritually dead people live, don't they? They're spiritually dead, but yet they live. They do some very impressive things. They accomplish some amazing feats. They build incredible structures and accomplish incredible tasks. And yet, they're spiritually dead, but yet they live. They're dead while they live. They're dead spiritually, but they live physically. But when we get born again, we become spiritually alive. We become spiritually alive. How many people been born again? Yeah. So there was a time where you lived your life according to the flesh. And then you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you became spiritually alive. Now that you're spiritually alive, you can live your life according to the Spirit, which is another whole totally different life. But we also know that even after being born again, you could continue to live the life according to the flesh or live the way you lived previously before you got born again, because the life of the flesh did not go away when you got born again. The old life did not go away. It's still potentially there for you to tap into it, yield to it, and be an expression of it. But we're not to be an expression of that life. We're to be an expression of this new life, the God kind of life, eternal life, which is unceasing, absolute fullness of life. That's the kind of life that you and I have been called to live. Jesus said, I've come to give them life, and that more abundantly, or that overflowing. That's the life God has for us to live. An abundant, overflowing, supernatural life. The life of the Spirit of God. That's what we've been created in Christ Jesus to live. But yet we still could go back and lean upon human reasoning and draw off the strength and wisdom of the flesh and the wisdom of this world, and could potentially live our lives independently of the Spirit of God, and thus live a life according to the flesh. But God has higher and bigger things for us. And so what the Word of God is telling us is that we are to love our lives in God. Love our lives according to the Spirit. Love our lives according to the Word of God. And hate that life that is according to the flesh, where we live our life out of the world instead of the Word. We need to hate that life, despise that life, so that we so reject that life that we won't have anything to do with that life and completely keep ourselves over here in this eternal life. Hallelujah. That's the life for me. Come on, somebody. That's the life for me, eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life starts when you die to your life in this world and live for Jesus Christ and turn your life over to Him. That's when eternal life starts. So if you've been born again, friend, I got news for you. You've already passed from death to life. You've already got eternal life. You're already in it right now. You might as well walk in it. You might as well become an expression of it. We are to become an expression of the God kind of life. And when you start tasting of the God kind of life, and you start walking in the God kind of life, and you start enjoying the God kind of life, the more you'll start to despise that old life, that life according to the flesh, that life that seeks to do everything independently of God. You'll despise it. You will hate it. Now, that's strong language. Hate is strong. And yet Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to hate your life. And he adds, your life in this world. He's talking about the life according to the world, according to the flesh. You got to hate that worldly life if you're going to be his disciple. If you really want to walk in and enjoy eternal life, which is unceasing absolute fullness of life, then you're going to have to hate that other life, that life that is according to the flesh and according to the world. You have to hate that. You have to hate that. Now, I didn't say, just try to avoid it and not like it. Hate it. It's when you hate it that you'll have nothing to do with it, and it won't have anything to do with you. In other words, it won't be able to dominate you anymore. It won't be able to control you anymore. And we need to hate it because over there are ways that seem right and good to men. But we understand from the scriptures and from experience that the end of those things is death. Death. That's the end of those things. So I don't want anything to do with it. That's deception. It seems like the right and good way to go, but the end thereof is death. So therefore, it's a big lie. It's a big lie. It promises big, one boasts big things, but it's one big lie. I don't like liars, do you? I don't like being deceived, do you? No. So therefore, we don't like the old life. In fact, we don't just not like it. We, huh? Huh? Say it like you're mad. Yeah, that's what I thought. We hate it. We hate it. We hate it. Drill that into yourself tonight. We hate that. We hate our life according to the flesh. Now, that's not talking about hating your physical life. I hate my body. Why would you hate your body? God made your body. Come on, somebody. I hate my body. That's what we're talking about, hating your body. The Bible says your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again child of God, your body is precious. It's important. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's the temple of God. It's God's house. Don't you say you hate God's house. No, we care for it and take good care of it. We love it. We love it. Now, he's not talking about hating your physical life. He's talking about hating any part of your life that seeks to live independently of God. That's what he's talking about. When he's talking about walking in the flesh, living according to the flesh, being carnally minded, it's talking about living a life independently of God and doing things according to the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the world, according to the flesh. according to just the outward man. The outward man, which consists of your mind, your will, your emotions, and of course your five physical senses, your body. And so, yeah, it's a problem. Our body's a problem if it's functioning independently of the Holy Spirit. If it's out here just living, if we're just living according to our senses, we're just living according to our emotional feelings, we're just living according to our carnal thinking, yeah, that's a huge problem. That's something to hate. That's something to hate. But just we don't just hate our body. We don't just hate our mind. We don't just hate our soul. We don't just hate our emotions. We don't hate that we got a free will. No. We hate those things when they're functioning independently of the Spirit of God, separate from the Spirit of God. When they're just functioning out of this world and living for this world. That's what we hate. But when we spring our bodies over, we possess our souls, and we bring our body and mind into subjection to the Word and will of God and to the Spirit of God, woo, hallelujah, we love that. We love every part of us. We love every part of us. Praise God, we're just glistening with glory. Right? We got glistening glory flowing out of our fingertips. Praise God. Believers will lay hands on the sick. What a beautiful hand. A beautiful hand. And then the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Whoo, hallelujah, I got beautiful feet too. Amen. Do you have beautiful feet? Beautiful feet. Praise. You see, if it's submitted to Him, it's beautiful. Now, if it's over here, functioning apart from Him and just living according to the world, well, it's an awful thing. We despise that. We don't like that. We hate it. We hate that. So, we pull our body over here. Ooh, we pull our mind over here. We pull our emotions over here, and we submit them to the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? All right. Let's look at this some more over in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Let's pick it up in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Notice that. He says the carnal mind is enmity against God. When you look up that word enmity, it means hostility or hatred. Hatred. So the carnal mind is hatred towards God. Hatred towards God. Now remember, Jesus talked about hating your life. Hating your life in this world. And of course, that was key to finding your life. Finding your life. Or finding your life in God, we could say. Hating your life in this world is key to finding your life in God. People that are unwilling to let go of this world can never find that eternal life. They can't find that life, that abundant life that God has for them. You got to be willing to lose this life. Lose that old life. That's my fun. That's my entertainment. You know, I've learned to be dependent on these things. I've learned to trust in these things. And you got to learn to hate those things. You got to learn to hate those things, because it's those things that's keeping you from something much higher, much greater. Somebody say, God's got a greater life for me. Yeah. So, the flesh will keep you from that. Keep you from living the life God created you to live. Don't that just get under your skin? It should. It should get you mad about it. Somebody trying to keep you from the blessing. Something trying to keep you back from God's best for your life. You shouldn't take that lightly. I said, you shouldn't take that lightly. That's a big deal. That's an enemy. That's hostility. And obviously, if it's trying to keep you from eternal life, that life hates you. Hates your life in God. That life hates your life in God. Therefore, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to hate that life that hates my life and tries to keep me from the life of God. See, there's a battle going on. Actually, that word enmity can also mean perfect mutual hatred. Perfect mutual hatred. There is a mutual hatred between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Between the world and the word, there is perfect mutual hatred. This is what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about hating your life. Notice again in verse 13. Verse 13, he says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Well, see, that goes right along with what we just read over in John 12, 25. Jesus said in John 12, 25, he said, if you love your life, you will lose it, right? He said, if you love your life, you will lose it. Here he's saying, if you love your life according to the flesh, you will die. Lose it. He's saying the same thing. So you see how these two go together, and this scripture gives us a greater understanding and confirms what I'm talking to you about. What Jesus meant when he said, he who loves his life will lose it. He who loves his life in this world, he will lose it. Because right here he says, verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, if you're living according to the flesh, what does that mean? You're loving your life in this world. What's he saying going to happen? You will die, or you will lose it. You will lose it. So he's confirming that. Then he says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, what else did Jesus say in John 12, 25? He said, if you lose your life, you will find it. Here he says, if you put to death the deeds of the body, your life in this world, you will live, or you will find it. So you see, Romans 8, 13 is giving us understanding. Go back here to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here he's talking about the loving of your life that causes you to lose your life or die is a carnally minded life. Right? For to be carnally minded is death. It is to lose your life. So Jesus says, if you love your life in this world, that's the same as being carnally minded. It's living out of the carnal mind. It's living out of a mind, not just the mind. The mind itself is not a bad thing, but it's living out of a mind that thinks independently of the word of God, even contrary to God. Because this world is contrary to God. This world's all backwards. All backwards. What the world says is up, God says is down. What God says is down, the world says is up. Right? The contrary to each other. So, to be carnally minded is the loving of your life that Jesus was talking about. So what we set our mind on is important. Don't love your carnal mind. Don't love your carnally minded life, is what Jesus is saying. Don't love your carnally minded life or your life according to the flesh. Lose that so you can live a spiritually minded life. We're to live a spiritually minded life. And you got to understand, you will live the life you set your mind upon. What you set your mind on, that's the life you're going to express. That's the life you're going to live. So what you do with your mind is very important. What you do with your mind is very important. Jesus said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. We could say, according to Romans, what Jesus is saying is, if you set your mind on the earthly things, on natural things, and not on the things of God, you will lose your life. But if you hate your life, then you will find life. In other words, if you hate setting your mind on natural carnal things, then you will come over here and set your mind on heavenly spiritual things and experience real life. You'll begin to express real life. So where we go with our minds is very, very, very important. Because like I said, you will live the life that you set your mind on. Now, this will bring clarity to a scripture that, and a term that we've all heard before. If this will bring, this will bring clarity to it. How many people have heard of being double-minded? Double-minded. Well, what does double-minded mean? Well, a lot of people have thought that double-minded is just not making your mind up. You know, should we go to the ball game or should we stay home? Should I take that job or take that job? Or, you know, should I do this or should I do that? And people think, oh, I'm not sure which to do. Oh, stop being double-minded. That's not being double-minded according to the Bible. Being double-minded according to the Bible is being a person of two minds. And what are those two minds? Carnally minded and spiritually minded. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about being confused in your decision making. That's not what he's talking about. James chapter 1, verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Why? Verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we'll not be able to receive anything from the Lord. I didn't say the Lord won't give you anything. He said, you won't be able to receive anything. Well, that would include eternal life. You won't be able to receive the kind of life that comes from the Lord, eternal life. If what? If you're double-minded. Well, what does that mean? That means if you're going back and forth between being carnally minded and spiritually minded. Carnally minded, spiritually minded. That's not how God wants to live our life. He don't want us to be double-minded. He wants us to be single-minded. He wants us to be one-track minded. You need to have a one-track mind. And what track is that? That's a spiritual mind. Oh, hallelujah. We set our mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Or we set our mind on the things of the Word of God. We set our mind on the things concerning the plan and purpose of God. We set our mind on the things that pertain to the heart of God. That's what we set our mind on. Not on the things of the world and the flesh. That's not what we set our mind on. But yet so many are like ping pong balls. I'm talking about Christians. Just like ping pong balls. They go back and forth over the net. He said, let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, that's pretty serious. So we got to get a hold of the mind. We got to make sure we get this mind over here and set it on spiritual things. How do you do it? Well, no matter what comes up in life, you got a spiritual answer for it. Sometimes that answer just might be Shandai Rondai, Shala Makilabai. But you got a spiritual answer for it. You got a scripture. What does the word say? Too many Christians too often still walk around giving their opinion, voicing their opinion. I hate that. Just to tell you right there, I hate that. I hate my own opinion. I said, I hate my own opinion. So I invite you to do the same. Pastor, what do you think about it? Don't matter what I think about it. What does God's word say about it? What agrees with the Bible? And I might not quote a scripture to you, but what I'm going to say is going to be in line with the scriptures. It's going to agree with the scriptures. I'm not going to come out here and just come up, well, I'll tell you how I feel about it. You know, I mean, my father showed me, my mom showed me, my grandpa did, and I've learned from experience, bang, 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 bang. No, I've learned from the Bible. I've learned from the presence of God. I've learned based on what he's taught me, what he's shown me. And I love when God shows me things. Whoo, I love God teaching me stuff because I hate my own opinion. So I run from that. I won't give you my opinion. Isn't that good news? Yeah. So I'm only going to give you what I feel agrees with the heart of God. And we know the heart of God by knowing the word of God, because God's word reveals God's heart. So we're going to come back to, what does the word say? What's the Spirit of God prompting in us concerning this situation? What kind of conviction do we have on the inside? What's the Spirit of God saying here? What are we feeling from the Spirit? That's what we're going to answer. That's what we're going to say. We're not just going to say how we feel about it. We're not going to say what we think about it according to an unrenewed mind. Ooh, we hate that. Ooh, I hate that guy. That's why I got saved. I got saved from that guy. I don't want to go back to him, that opinionated know-it-all. I don't want anything to do with him. I hate that guy. Don't look at me like that. You all got that opinionated know-it-all hanging out with you, but you don't have to like him. I mean, as long as you're here in this world until Jesus comes, you got to deal with him. He's there. But we hate him, right? Shut up. Oh, that's not a nice thing to say. Shut up. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be nice. So you're supposed to be nice. You're a Christian. I hate you. How's that for nice? I hate you. Oh, that's not very nice. No, but it's very Bible. Right? Is it Bible? Let's make sure our nice is a Bible nice. Let's not have a world nice. A nice based on how it seems and how it looks and how it sounds and how it feels. Let's not have a nice that is defined by the world. Let's get a nice that's defined by the word. A lot of people got ideas about what human compassion looks like and what nice looks like and therefore how Christians are supposed to act. And it's a worldly perspective. And then when someone like Jesus comes walking in with a whip and starts kicking over tables, he can't be of God. He's a meanie. No, he was full of hate. He was full of hate against that life that was so contrary to God, that was turning God's house of prayer into a den of thieves. Kicked that over. He hated that. He hated that. And you need to hate it too. I said, you need to hate it too. That's Bible. That's Bible Christianity. So, you know, we hear the song, In the World, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And that's being sung. How many people know the song I'm talking about? How many people know the song I'm talking about? Get it ready. Is that Whitney Houston? Whitney Houston, learning to love yourselves. We're going to, might sing that tonight. Just help some people out. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love at all. So people would think that I was preaching Whitney Houston's message. Last week, I wasn't. Trust me, I wasn't. That was a learning to love yourself according to the flesh. That was a life learning to love yourself according to the world. That's a learning to love yourself according to a life separated from God. Oh, no, she was raised in the choir. I know a lot of heavy metal stars started out in the choir, too. Where you start is not necessarily where you finish. A lot of folks start out in the church, and the devil steals them and turns them into his ministers. Well, there's a lot of that. But anyway, I've digressed just a little. We don't love that life. That's not the love we're talking about. We hate that. We hate that. We love ourselves in God. That's what we love. We love our life in God, not our life independent of God, or just our life in the world. The carnally minded life. We don't like that life. We don't like it at all. But we love the spiritually minded life. We love that life. See what I'm saying? So we hate the opinions. We hate all the selfish motives, right? And so when you start to see selfish motives coming out of you, what do you do about that? Do you just accept that? Then you don't hate it. Do you just accept selfish motives? Do you just accept unclean, filthy thinking? Do you just accept your opinions? Do you just accept human reasoning for your answer? Do you just accept how you feel according to the flesh? And that's and making a decision out of that is good enough for you? You need to hate that. So that you reject that and you do something about it. When you find anything rising up in you that is of that life, you cast that thing down. You bring that thing into subjection. You deal with that thing like it's an enemy. Because it is. I said it's an enemy. And it's an enemy that you hate. You hate it like it's the devil, because it's exactly what it is. It's a devil. It's a devil. So we don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to have a spiritual mind 1 second and a carnal, fleshly mind, a worldly mind the next second. And yet the Bible warns about this. It talks about looking into the Word of God and immediately forgetting what kind of person you are. He said, that's what a double-minded man is like. He looks into the Word of God and then goes away from church and immediately forgets what kind of person he is. He forgets he's a spiritual man. He forgets he's a new creation in God. And he goes away and he forgets that, and now he's just living his life out here in the flesh again until his next devotional time. Right? And so we do religious deeds. This isn't about religious deeds. This is about transforming our life. What does that mean? That means that the real spiritual person that we now are in Christ Jesus is coming to the forefront. Even as we're hearing this word tonight, the real spiritual person that we are, through our minds being renewed in the Word of God, we're rising up from the inside. That God kind of life is rising up from the inside and is to be expressed through us constantly, to the point where we stay that way. We stay that way. We get stuck in the spirit. We get stuck being spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Don't you want to get stuck? Oh, hallelujah. You just keep renewing your mind, and all of a sudden you get stuck. And now all you can do is just trust God. All you can do is just look to Him for everything. All you can do is just check in with Him on everything. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. I mean, anything that comes up, it's like, there's the Word. Right? You're stuck on the Spirit of God. You're stuck on Him. I mean, His conviction's there all the time. You even move a little bit out of the Spirit towards the flesh. Like, you pull yourself right back. You feel it immediately. You're stuck. You've become a slave of righteousness. A slave of God. A slave of life. Who would have set you free from being a slave of death? Darkness. Oh, so it's important we keep our mind over here in the Spirit. How you do? Renew it. Renew our mind. James 4. You know, I think of the martial arts. When I was in the martial arts would not work for you out on the street. If you didn't study and practice and make it a part of you, make those moves that you learn reactionary. In other words, you know, if somebody jumps out at you with a knife or a bat or something like that, you know, in class you have time, you practice. The guy comes in, he stops, you know he's not going to hit you, you know. And you kind of study what you're supposed to do. You read the manual, you take the guy down, give him the elbow, you know, all those things. You learn all these maneuvers, but if it isn't something that is a part of you, then when you're out on the street, if somebody jumps you, you can't sit there and go, wait, step one, okay, put your arm, two, okay, three, no, it's not going to work. It's got to be whack, 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 and then when it's all over, go, what just happened? And you just killed the guy. What just happened? What just happened? And man, I tell you, I was so into it. I was so into it. I was like psycho karate man. I started in high school, and I was like, because I was always being picked on. I don't want to stop making people sad, but I was. I was terrified. I was abused, man. I was picked on. And finally, I learned karate, and when I started learning karate, man, I got pumped. And I won't get into the whole story. It gets really good, though. They could have made a movie at it, the Karate Kid. They could have done it because it got really cool. Even in high school, it was really cool. The bullies. It was good. Anyway, I'm digressing. It's got to become a reaction. It's got to become a reaction. I'll leave it at that. Praise God. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Man, that's not good for Christians to be called sinners, is it? No, but being double-minded, that's exactly how you'll be. You'll be doing all the wrong things. But he says, what does he say? Draw near to God. How can we draw near to God, church? How do we draw near to God? Set your mind on him. Set your mind on him. Because what you set your mind on is is the life you're going to live. So how do I draw near to God? I begin to set my mind on him. I begin to acknowledge him. I begin to think on God. Just begin to think on him. It don't take much. This isn't hard. Christianity isn't hard. God's made it so easy for us. Set your mind on him. Set your mind on God. And as you set your mind on him, what's going to happen? You're drawing near to him. What do you mean? You're coming over and drawing near to that eternal life. You're drawing near to that life you love and drawing near to the love of your life, which is God, right? Your first love. That's who we love. So we draw near to him by setting our mind on him. What happens if the devil flickers something over here and he starts getting our attention? What starts happening? Sin. That's what's going to happen. Anything apart from him is sin. Yeah. That life of the flesh, that fleshly life, being a carnally minded person, sin. Wait, that's not the kind of life we're going to live. So the devil knows if we can get our mind on him and get our mind thinking over here carnally, then he's pulled us away from the Lord. And what does the Lord say? He says, draw near to God. Cleanse your hands of that. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Get back over here and stay here. Get stuck. Keep your mind stuck on me. Keep your mind stuck on the Spirit. Don't start going over there again. We train ourselves. We discipline ourselves. But the big part of disciplining ourselves is going to happen. In other words, we're going to be his disciples, because that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who disciplines himself to follow the Lord, stay close to the Lord, and walk with the Lord. That's what a disciple is. We will discipline ourselves to do that when what? When you hate your life in this world. Isn't that what he said? He said, you can't be my disciple unless you hate your life. So in other words, it's when you hate that, that you will discipline yourself and do whatever it takes to keep yourself over here. But if it's not really all that bad, and it's kind of fun, and it's okay, a little bit of it's okay, then you'll be hanging out over here all the time, you little sinner. And you'll be away from him. But then you'll come back, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then you'll slip back over here again. Something else gets your attention over here. And you'll start drawing near to that. And then we're doing this thing. And just when we're receiving from God, it's like, well, maybe I'll go this way. Maybe that'll make it happen. And then we start reaching out here to the arm of the flesh and the fleshly carnal-mindedness, and we're over here totally away from the Spirit of leading. Now, he might lead us to do natural things. You understand? Like I said, the body's not bad. The world in and of itself is not bad. It's when it's all independent of him. That's when it's sin. And that's the thing we hate. Okay? The world, things of the world, then I say, there's not a problem. There's not a problem with physical, nice, natural things. God wants you to have all the good things the world has to offer. He wants you to eat the good of the land. You understand? So we don't despise and hate natural things, natural wisdom. We just do it all connected to him, being led by him, following him, and putting it all up against the scriptures. Putting it all up against the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Then the world works for us. See, then everything in the world works for us when it's all submitted to the word of God, when it's all in Christ, when it's all in God, all right? When God's in all, when he's a part of everything we're doing, then man, take it all, get it all, do it all. But do it all in him. Follow him. Have God's mind on it, not just a natural man's mind on it. So we gotta learn. Stay over here. How are we gonna discipline ourselves to stay over here? Get a hold of what we're saying tonight. Hate that life. Well, how can we get ourselves to hate that life? Understand what it is. It's going to kill you. It's going to cut your life short. It's going to rob you. It's a thief and a robber. It hates you. And it will plunder you. It will deceive you. It will lead you astray. It will ruin you. It will cause you to go over an eternity boo-hooing about the life that you live down here on the earth. You got to understand that's what it's going to do to you, so you better start hating it. Start hating that life you came out of. Start hating that life that you came out of like you've never hated it before. And talk of your love for the life that you have in God. Oh, I love my life in Jesus. I love my life in God. Hallelujah. And I hate my life in the world apart from God. I hate to be carnally minded. I hate to be carnally minded. So I set my mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Can you say amen? We're not going to go back and forth between two minds. Because if you go back and forth between two minds, then you're living two lives. Because wherever you set your mind, that's the life you're going to live. So if you go back and forth between two minds, you're going back and forth between two lives. We're not to live two lives. We are to hate the double-minded life and stay focused on the one spiritual life. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, I'm a single-minded soldier. A one-track-minded child of God. Hallelujah. So you say, I'm a child of the King. Amen. Praise God. Stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.